Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency, all things homesteading, and about how we can reduce the gap between our consumption and our production. Sustainability and food security matters. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 315 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. I've got my numbers all sorted out again now. I'm back on track. So, 315. I'm not sure that anyone's keeping track, though, but it's amazing what the slip of a biro pen can do to my ordering system here as I'm recording. Anyway, here we are, and today it is our 4B4 for March. Four things to do before the end of March. And we're going to deviate slightly from what you might be expecting and what traditionally we might have done for our 4B4 today, because around this time of year, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, we turn our attention towards the upcoming spring and summer, and we're all about sowing and thinking forward. Well, we're going to neglect some of the more obvious things that might find their way onto this episode, only because I think they're things that we'd all be doing anyway by now. And if not, if you are looking for a March 4B4 that includes sowing, then just check out last year's and include that on your to-do list. But we're going to be looking a little bit outside that and talking about some different homesteading projects, but also some definite things that are March based. And it's worth mentioning, this weekend I'll be releasing a bonus episode, a Southern Hemisphere version of the 4B4, which is going to be 6 months out of sync for you guys that aren't looking at spring and early summer, but are looking at autumn now. So that will be this weekend. But we're going to be talking about our 4B4, four things you should do before the end of the month. And as always, this episode is supposed to be a combination of a to-do list, a bit of a challenge, a way of stretching yourself. And I maintain that if you, dear listener, I'm talking to only you, just you right now, if you do all of the things on the 4B4 list every month, then at the end of the year, I genuinely believe you'll look back on a more productive year than you would look back on otherwise. So please do consider adding them to your own personal to-do list. Right, before we do get into that list, I just have another tiny bit of feedback, and that is to say, hang on for the end of this episode for today's giveaway, which will be the Grow Your Own Veg book by Carol Clean, and that was produced by the BBC in association with the Royal Horticultural Society, and it is a vast tome of everything about growing your own vegetables, greenhouse growing, seedlings, transplanting, different veg by veg sections. Everything is in here. And I will also say, if you are the lucky winner, please bear the following in mind. This book has been in my polytunnel. It has rested on the compost out there, so it looks like it's been used. It's in fantastic condition inside. It's a hardback book, but the cover is a little bit, used. It does look used, but inside is pristine, I can assure you. Anyway, that is going to be today's prize. Right, let's get on with our four things to do before the end of March. And number one, and this seems really fitting actually this week, because on Monday's podcast we spoke about composting, we did a back to basics compost episode, and on Wednesday's podcast we spoke about the Eden gardening method, which uses loads and loads of wood chip mulch or any other type of mulch. So mulching is on our list. Now, I do believe this made our list on one of our previous 4B4s, and it's a hugely important part of what we do. The benefits of mulching are myriad, and if you're uncertain of that, go back and listen to Wednesday's episode, and I'm sure that'll clear up any confusion you may have about the benefits of mulching. But yeah, now is a fantastic time to mulch your beds. So whatever you're mulching them with, if you're using Charles Dowding's method of no-dig gardening, and you're using completely broken down compost, that's great. Do that now, and you can plant directly into that when you're ready. If you're using wood chip, now again is a great time to add wood chip to your beds, and you just plant through that when you're ready to transplant your seedlings, whatever it might be. But mulching now is a great time to do it, because it's going to do loads of good things for your soil. It's going to help with moisture retention at this time of year. It's actually going to help to warm your soil up as well, which is critical for extending our seasons and maybe getting an extra week or two out of our growing season. So mulching is, like I say, it's a really important part of what we do here, and I think it should be added to everyone's repertoire. If you're not already mulching, you can use anything for mulch, so don't be put off. I've done an episode on mulching, I'm sure, years ago. Maybe we'll have to revisit that in a few weeks and do a more in-depth episode on mulching. Something else I will just quickly mention, actually, before we move on, is I've had a bit of feedback again from Alex Todd, who's listening about a year behind, and he just wrote to say that the rebroadcasts that I do sporadically are actually really interesting and beneficial, because he is kind of learning in the same progression I am and was. So when I do a rebroadcast, he said he gets more out of it because he'd learnt a lot of things since the first time he'd heard it, and he's listening with brand new ears and a brand new perspective. And I think that's really interesting and really valuable feedback. So thank you, Alex. So yeah, again, I think if I did a mulch episode again in a few weeks' time, it would look very different to the one I did previously, because I have learnt a great deal as a gardener since I first recorded that. Anyway, that's a bit of a sidebar there. Let's move on. So yeah, number one on your four things to do before the end of March is to mulch. Number two is one we've not really spoken about a great deal on the show at all, and certainly not in our four before, I don't think, and that is to do a pest assessment. This is the time of year when we are probably, it's probably one of the lowest points of pest pressure that we're going to have just after the winter. Whether we're talking about vermin, you know, the number of mice and rats is going to be probably at its lowest. The number of pests that are pressuring our crops is going to be at their lowest. But now is a great time to do an assessment and look forward to the rest of the year and think about what our plans are going to be. We don't necessarily have to be enacting any of these plans yet, but I think now is a great time to come up with a pest pressure plan, PPP. So a pest pressure plan can look however you want it to look. It might just be a single sheet of paper with a few notes on it, or it could be far more detailed. But now is a great time to put one together. So a pest assessment here is going to include where we're going to be having those issues with pests. So when we talk about vermin, we're talking about our livestock. We're talking about all the habitats that are going to be welcoming to rats and mice and things that we don't really want to encourage on the property. We're going to think about how we're going to discourage them from being here in the first place. So things like keeping your animal feeds in a way that they're not encouraging those pests onto your site in the first place. I've mentioned several times that we use something called treadle feeders, where the chickens will stand on a plate and that opens up a little hatch where they can access the food, so that rats and mice don't have access to that food when we feed our chickens. It can also include your compost bins. If you're going to be composting food waste, how are you going to mitigate the encouragement of rats and mice in those areas? And also our plants. What are we going to do to protect some of our plants? So this year, for the first year ever, we're going to have a large netted area, a walk-in netted area that we're going to be growing our brassicas in. At least that's the plan at the moment. And now is the time to be planning these things, thinking about it. You know, what are you going to put in place? How are you going to control slugs? Are you going to introduce areas that are favourable for snakes and amphibians in your garden? Are you going to introduce some hedgehog habitats to help you control your pests? What are your plans? Now's the time to think about it and to start planning what you're, not just for March, but for the whole year. What are the steps you're going to take all year round? Have you got everything you need? What do you need even? Do you even know what you need? What are your plans? So come up with a pest protection strategy and a pest assessment. Have that written down and you can check back and refer to it over the year. So that's numbers one and two. Number one, mulch. Number two, pest assessment. Number three, make some vinegar. Now, this is a great topic and a great thing to include in our four things before, because it's something that we can all do. It's really, really simple, and it doesn't take a lot of time. It's something you can literally do in probably 15 minutes. You can set up to make your own vinegar. You can make wine vinegars. Wine vinegars are made literally just by allowing wine to oxidize and leaving it, maybe adding a little bit of sugar. So you can make your own wine vinegars. We're not going to go through some vinegar recipes here because that's not what this episode is. But again, that might be the topic of a future podcast. But you can make apple cider vinegar really, really easily. And vinegars are things that all homesteaders use. We can use them to preserve. We use them making things like chutneys. We use them to pickle. We also use them for salad dressings and just as vinegars to go on our fish and chips, if you're here in the UK at least. So you can make your own vinegars. It's a really, really easy thing to do and really rewarding. So I've made a YouTube video on apple cider vinegar, which I must update, but we've got a tremendous amount of different vinegars here now that we make ourselves really, really simply. I suppose that's what I'm trying to say. It's simple. Don't be put off. Don't think, okay, I'll do the mulch. I'll think about my pests. I won't worry too much about vinegar because I don't know where to start. Google is your friend. I've decided while speaking that I will do a vinegar episode actually in the next little while. So, you know, if you're not sure, we will cover everything you need to know about making vinegar there. But yeah, get on and do it. You know, it's so simple to find vinegar recipes. And I guarantee you, even if you don't think you do, you have everything you need at home right now to make your own vinegars. They're a super useful thing that we all use, and by making our own, we're doing that thing that I love to talk about. We're reducing the gap between our production and our consumption. We're producing something that we're going to use rather than buy it. So definitely, definitely, definitely get on and make your own vinegar. And the best thing I think about making vinegars is that usually the things that are going into vinegars are byproducts. They're things that we're going to throw away anyway. They're apple peels and cores and a bit of water. You know, there's very little risk in making your own vinegars because you're using things that might otherwise go to waste, or you'd have to find a new home for, or they'd get composted. And you know, there's no downside, because if it all goes wrong, you just compost it anyway. You know, you really have lost nothing. It's not a hugely time demanding activity. It is just a few minutes, so please do consider getting on and making your own vinegars. Now the last one, and this is an exciting one. This is one of the sort of things that I imagine we all find really, really fun and enjoyable. So that is to find a new spot for production. And this can be almost anything you want it to be. Do you have hedges in your garden? Could you consider growing an edible hedge instead of whatever you currently have? Have you got some spaces that aren't being used that you can think outside the box and use them for growing more in? Now, this is a topic that is going to become more and more the focus of the podcast in a few months' time as we move house, as we move to a much, much smaller space. We are going to be looking for every nook and cranny within which to squeeze more production. And production doesn't just have to be food, you know, it can be coppicing, it can be production of animal feed, it can be a new place to keep quail, whatever it might be, or rabbits, whatever it might be, you know, find a new area or a new space or a new way of increasing your production. It could be by introducing vertical growing, it could be by introducing maybe an edible hedge, as I've already mentioned. We've got some hedges and fences at our new property that currently are just that. They're just borders. That's all they're doing. We're definitely going to be adapting those to make them into productive spaces. Perhaps you've got a flat roof somewhere on a porch or a garage that isn't doing very much. You could add some pots along the edge of it above the walls that you could grow something that could tumble out, some tumbling tomatoes or something like that. Or maybe if you don't have a flat roof, use hanging baskets. Perhaps your upstairs windows, you can add some window boxes and grow some herbs in them. There's a myriad of options available to us. If you are only growing on the ground, perhaps consider, like I say, some vertical growing. Do you have raised beds? If you do, perhaps the southern facing side of your raised bed, you could actually attach some trellis and grow something up or down it from the raised bed. You know, there's a lot of options available to us. I think that if you've got raised beds, that might be a great way of growing gourds, is having them growing out over the side and down the side of your raised bed. So there's almost always something we can do, somewhere we can add a little bit more production. So that's the final one of our four things to do before the end of March. Just find that little tiny bit extra that we can squeeze some more productivity out of. I have every faith in you guys that you can do it. So that wraps up our four things to do before the end of March. So to recap, mulch something, do a pest assessment, just have a look at where your pest pressure is going to be this year and come up with a plan for what you're going to do about it. Vinegars, start making your own vinegars. It's super easy, super simple. Please do it. And find a new spot for production. Squeeze that productive energy into every tiny corner of your garden. Right, that's the end of our 4x4. Before we go, though, we do have our Patreon giveaway, the Grow Your Own Veg book by Carol Klein, produced by the BBC in association with the RHS. And that's going to be going to one of our patrons. I'm going to pop my hand in the hat and draw out a name. And today's winner is Amy Woods. So, Amy, you have won the Grow Your Own Veg book. All you need to do to claim it is to send me an email with your address at selfsufficientcontact@gmail.com, and I will get this posted to you. Thanks ever so much for listening, guys, and I will be back next week. Get out there and enjoy your gardens. Until then, stay safe, and I'll speak to you soon. Cheers. This episode of the Self-Sufficient Herb podcast was brought to you by our patrons. You guys are awesome. If you'd like to support the show, there's lots of ways you can do it. The easiest of which is just to like and review it wherever you get our podcasts. You can also tell somebody about it, whether that's on social media or just face to face with a friend who you think might benefit from it. But however you support our podcast, we really, really appreciate it. If you'd like to become a patron, please consider doing so by going to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. However you support the podcast, it's listeners like you that make all of this possible. Thank you ever so much for listening, and I'll speak to you really soon.